Everybody still with us? Is this working now? And not that. Okay, if you have a Bible, Revelation. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation 21. Isn't it amazing?
There goes my power. There comes my power. I'll wait till we get this settled. You want to just use this one? No? We're okay with this one? Okay? Didn't sound okay. But it's okay now. Amen. It's amazing how you can take the Bible. Every service, I've been preaching almost 45 years. And I remember in Sturgis, one of the advantages of being someplace for 30 years is you get to know people, all of those things. One of the disadvantages is you have to have a new message every service. You can't repeat. I repeated two messages there in 30 years. But you can go anywhere in the Bible, absolutely anywhere in the Bible, and make a sermon. You can learn something. You can be blessed. You can be strengthened. And the Bible is so alive that even though you've read it a number of times, it's living and it gives you something that you need. Amen? And today we're in the book of Revelation. We won't be in it very long. We're just going to use it as a springboard into our message. But let's begin reading in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Can you comprehend that? You know, there's been a lot of Hollywood movies and people's minds go to Hollywood or some movie they saw, you know, the parting of the Red Sea or this thing or that thing. But some things that are recorded in the scripture are hard to wrap your mind around. We talked about that last week. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He will dwell with them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the Spirit of God who will guide us into this truth. And I pray that you minister to everyone here, Lord. You want to be dwelling with them. You want to help them. You want to help me. May we allow that today, God. May we invite you in. Come into our hearts. Come into our minds. Change our spirits for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great text there, but it's hard to imagine God with us. There's a verse that says, Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And we try and think about that. I mean, we read the stories and you kind of get a picture. But to understand it and experience it, it's quite different. In Revelation chapter 3, a very familiar text, it's the Laodicean church, and Jesus is there knocking on a door. It has no handle on the outside. It has to be opened from the inside. And he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. But we hear the voice of God and then we invite God in. That's what's going to take place today. You're going to hear God speak, hopefully, if you can stay awake or you can stay concentrating. Sometimes our minds go, don't they? Sometimes our minds go, don't they? Sometimes our minds go, don't they? And I mean, you're just thinking about something else and here's the scripture and it's coming out and God wants to do something with that word. I use a lot of Bible because that's the authority. Amen. That's the blessing. That's the power. But he says, I'm going to knock. And if you want what I have, you can let me in. Who wouldn't want to open the door? Amen. Who wouldn't want to hear God say, I want to come and minister to you. I want to come and fill you. I want to come and lead you and direct you. Who would say, no, I don't want that from God. I'll get it from the newspaper. I'll get it from the TV. I'll get it from Joe down the street. Nobody's here named Joe today. But anyway, we ought to let God in. There's an old song, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Remember that song? And we hear God knocking. We'll hear him knocking today. He said, open the door, and if we open the door, boy, that's going to be a blessing. Remember Adam and Eve? They heard his voice too. That's what it says. They heard his voice. They heard him speak in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves? Because they had sinned. They were ashamed. And so they heard his voice like they had heard many, many times before and loved it. Amen. You ever come to church and just, man, the Bible. Amen. And then you come to church and you go, was he talking to me? You know, or was God talking to me? And maybe it wasn't a pleasant experience. But even when God corrects us, amen, even when he chastens us or whatever, it's always a blessing, the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We are told in the Bible to hide the Word in our heart, not to hide our heart from the Word. And when the Word comes, it's always right. Amen. The Bible is always right, and it's always very powerful. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. I'm going to build a little introduction here. My introductions are really long and my messages are short. Amen. But it gets us all on the same page. Zechariah 7:11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should hear. They stopped their ears because they didn't want to hear it. In Revelation, the seven churches, everyone, it says, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. And so this is just what God ordains. Amen. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save people that believe. He uses preaching and teaching of his word. And he does that because he loves us and wants to help us. We should not stop our ears or go click. We do that too. Click. And we start thinking about something else. There's cheesecake back there today. Boy, I shouldn't have said that, huh? There are homemade brownies. Are they homemade, Karen? Oh, homemade cake? Is it cake from scratch? Wow, chocolate cake. There's sweet rolls, amen. There's hot dogs, potato chips. Father, dismiss us now with your blessing. I mean, it can get on your mind. I don't know what you're planning after church. Maybe it's something real important. Maybe it's just a nap, amen. Sunday afternoon is nap time. Of course, so is Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But and we're projecting maybe, you know, your taxes. You're still working on your taxes. Oh, woe be unto those that are still working on their taxes. But we think about that and we think about this. And it's all something that consumes our minds. And if we could just let all that go and come into the house of God and say, what's God going to say to me today? Two people came to me last week, and you don't have to do this. This was just out of the ordinary, but they told me that that was exactly the message that they needed to hear. That is a blessing to anybody who is sharing the Word of God, because you know God is using that message. Amen? So that's what we're going to do today. Hear what the Spirit has to say. Acts chapter 7, the Pharisees were listening to Stephen give a message. And I know I've said this before, but Acts chapter 7 is one of the greatest concise sermons on the history of Israel that you can ever find anywhere. It's, of course, the Bible, so it's perfect, but it's very good. Stephen talks about the history from Abraham, and he tells all of this history even back further. And then he only got in trouble when he gave the invitation. When he got all done preaching, he said, he uncircumcised in hearts and lips, who hath warned you to come from, to flee from the wrath to come? And then they knew he was talking to them. And so they wanted to stone him. But listen to what it says about them. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They didn't want to hear anymore. I've never had anybody run out of the church service. I've had people go to sleep. We had a fella that he was a blessing. He was just a blessing, I'll say that, but he was always falling asleep in the service. And when he'd fall asleep, he would snore. And he sat over in this section. We had four sections in the church, and he sat in the far over section. And when he snored, buddy, I mean, he snored. And we would have people in the... Anyway, I won't go into that. But don't go to sleep, amen? I'll throw a songbook at you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is last days. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Something new, something different. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, and then ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, that's quite a list, is it not? And we're warned about any of those statements there, and we're to watch out for that because it can happen. In Amos chapter 8, remember the prophecy? The days will come that there will be a famine, not of bread or of water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And so there's so many illustrations about this where people just stop their ears. And they don't do it maybe out of anger, they just don't want to hear it. You know, that's just not interesting to them. The Bible is precious. The word of God is precious. It is something that is so helpful, and we'll see that as we get into the message. One preacher said, this book, the Bible, will draw you to God or drive you away from God. And he said, the same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. And the Bible can be the greatest blessing to you today, or it can be the greatest curse. If we follow the word of God, it's always a blessing. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was running away from Esau. Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and he had sinned. He had deceived his father. And remember, he has this dream, and there's a ladder up to heaven and all of the things that are in that. And he says when he wakes up, he says, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord was here. Here, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We're preaching. We're doing exactly what God wants us to do. You know, it's not real exciting to some people, but it's the word of God to the hearts of the people. And it's all ordained of God. And thank you again for praying. That's what I believe about it. But we know that God is here because he says he is here. Amen. And we know that this is how he communicates with us, through the word of God. There doesn't have to be lightning hit the building. Praise God. Amen. We don't want that to happen. But we want lightning to hit our heart, if you can understand that statement. Psalm 23, he follows us with mercy and goodness all of our life, and one day we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we talked about that last week. That is a wonderful thing to think about. We can dwell in the house of the Lord. In John chapter 14, he said, whither I am, there ye shall be also. We're going to be with God for eternity. In verse 23 of chapter 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You go to John chapter 15. You could take every chapter and just keep going like this. But he talks about, I am the vine, you're the branches, and we abide in him. And if without him, we can do nothing. But it talks about bearing fruit. Then it says bearing more fruit, the next verse. And then a couple verses down, it says bearing much fruit. That's not just souls. That's the fruit of the Spirit that's in us. And this is such a blessing that God does this for us. Psalm 139, verse 7, the psalmist said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit?" And he said, "Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He'll go home with you today. Amen. He'll keep speaking to you as long as you have an ear to listen. Amen. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you. He wants to comfort you. All of those things, if we just listen, we can hear the presence of God and the Word of God. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So he is there. He makes that promise. There was an old monk, and he did a lot of labor at the monastery, and that was his testimony. But he wrote a book. His name was Brother Lawrence, and the book's title, The Practice of the Presence of God. It is a fascinating book because it shows you how that you can keep thinking and keep experiencing that connection with God all day long, all day long. And it's a blessing. Just throw that out there. 2 Corinthians 6:16. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Christ in you, the hope of glory." Romans 8, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if you have it, and the filling of the Spirit," boy, that's a wonderful experience. Who would not want that to take place? Jesus is knocking, amen? Knocking all the time. All we have to do is open the door, and then he comes in and ministers to us. 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Think how difficult that is to have any fellowship with somebody that's not a Christian in your home. That's a difficult thing. There are men that are married to wives that aren't saved. There are wives that are married to men that aren't saved. That's got to be very, very difficult. Don't you think? Amen? I mean, if you have a mate that is saved and loves God, that is priceless. Absolutely priceless. Nabal, 1 Samuel chapter 25, his wife Abigail, who was a wonderful person, said about him, "He is such a man of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." I remember the story, his heart died within him, and then he died. We have 2 Corinthians 6:15. "What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" And Belial is a terrible term. It's talking about wickedness. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And it is possible to have in your family men, boys, immediate family, and then aunts, uncles, all that, where they don't know God. And it's really difficult to have any fellowship. And it works the other way with the ladies too. And I'm bringing out two extremes here. But let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And great price for sure, because the virtuous woman is of great price also. And it says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love his brethren, be courteous, or be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. And it goes on, and there's such wonderful instruction there for us to take to our hearts and take to our homes. Amen? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have that kind of relationship. In Genesis 20, Abraham, his wife was so beautiful, and he was afraid that somebody would kill him to get his wife. So he told her, he says, if they come for you, just tell them you're my sister. And as long as I make it, you don't have to make it. That's basically what it was. And then later on, and I think it's chapter 20 or something, his son Isaac did the exact same thing with his wife, Rebecca. Just listen, if we get out there and somebody really falls in love with you, and they want you for them, just tell them you're my sister, because I don't want to die. That's a real good guy. That's a pretty good guy, man. Always thinking. But we haven't. But there's the other side of the coin too. Amen. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Brawling means the act of quarreling, and our wives here in the church, they don't quarrel. There's no quarreling. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than when a contentious and angry woman, contentious, is given to angry debate. And there's nothing like that going on here. This is just something you probably read about or seen in somebody when you were at Myers. Amen. Proverbs 25:24. I don't know why this instruction is so many times in the Bible, but here it is. It's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's a direct quote of the other verse. And then there's this one. A continual dropping in a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 27:5. You know, did you ever have a leak in your faucet in the kitchen? Or maybe your gutter outside was stuffed with leaves and you're trying to sleep, you know, and it just keeps on going, just keeps on going. And that's in our homes, that can happen. And it's unrest, amen? It's not a very good experience, and it can be more severe than that. The blame game is played by a lot of people. Children blame their parents blame their children, husband blames his wife blames. Listen, if you would pick your socks up, I would quit getting angry. Well, they've only been there since Christmas. You know, and I mean, there's all of this stuff. You provoked me to anger. Never blame, you can never blame God. God will never do that. Amen. He always does the right thing. So you're hearing his word. 1 Timothy 5:4, learn first to show piety at home. Doesn't matter how we come to church. You can argue coming to church and then argue on the way home from church, and church isn't going to do a whole lot for you. Amen. Come with the right spirit. And I know. There's this plaque that a lot of homes used to have. Christ is the head of the home, the unseen guest of every meal, the silent listener to every conversation, the practice of the presence of God. Amen. And that little plaque can really help us if we just, the Lord's here. You know, you wouldn't say that. There's things we wouldn't say if we were in church, let alone, and that's with people. We wouldn't want somebody to hear us say that, but we wouldn't want the Lord to hear us either. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's like the prodigal when he came home. The father ran out to meet him. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. There's a song, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? That's a good verse. Time after time he has waited before, and now he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. That's what's going on today. That's what happens when there's preaching and teaching or even devotional time. God is speaking to you. If you open your heart's door, the eye gate and the ear gate are gates to the heart. And when we hear it, we can take it to the heart. When we see it and read it, we can take it to our heart also. Revelation 3, he's knocking. What would God bring to your life and your heart and your spirit if you let him in? What do you think he wants to bring? He's not coming in to scold you. He's not coming in to condemn you. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What he's coming in for is he wants to abide with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Amen? Amen? That's what he wants. Why wouldn't we let him come in? What would he bring? Rest, comfort, forgiveness, counsel, peace. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Amen? That's what he wants to do. All we have to do is draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. All we have to do is say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And he'll speak. Amen? And if we just pray and ask him to talk to us, he will do that. That's why we memorize the Bible. If you're having trouble sleeping, memorize Psalm 23. I guarantee you won't get through it three times. You'll be sound asleep. Or if not, maybe you really quote it 20 times. Amen? Whatever works. Some people are gossips. You ever have somebody over your house that was a gossip? Nobody's going to say anything or look to anybody. We just look straight up. But once they get in, there it goes. You know, sooner or later. If a person talks to you about somebody else, they'll talk to somebody else about you. And how about this statement? I shouldn't say this, but we shouldn't talk about this, but. And so that, if you're not wanting to talk about people and somebody comes in and does that, that's uncomfortable. Amen? God's not going to do that. He'll have you praying for somebody. He won't have you talking about them. He'll have you praying for somebody. Some people are argumentative or opinionated. How can you tell? Oh, you can tell. It's like petting a porcupine. You ever pet a porcupine? Some people are superior. And some people are like God. And that's where there's fellowship. Amen? And the verses are endless on that. If we love God, we love our brother, etc., etc., and you have good fellowship. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, even as God for Christ's sake. And God's good to us, and we need to be good to other people. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore, this is the message, okay, that was the introduction. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What draws you to the throne of mercy or the throne of grace? What draws you there? Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. He's got all this grace there to help us in our time of need. And where do we go in a time of need? Do we try and figure it out ourselves? Do we worry about it? Does it take us down a bad path? Or do we take it to God? Do we go into the throne room? Here's another one. Exodus chapter 25. And there I will meet thee, speaking of the mercy seat, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. What draws us to the mercy seat? Well, what drew the publican there? His sin, right? God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven. He smote his breast. He said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He went home justified. He got the mercy that he came for. David, same thing. David, the man after God's own heart, messed his life up. And he came, Psalm 51, he confessed his sin. And God restored the joy of his salvation to him. What do we get when we come to God? He comes to us. He speaks to us. Amen? So here he's coming to you today. You don't even have to come to him. Just let him in. Amen? It's a principle in the Bible, and it's something that God does to help us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He draws us to himself. God is good. How does anybody get saved? They want forgiveness, right? They want to go to heaven. They want to know God. They want to be all of those things that they hear. And they come to God. the law of grace and the law of mercy. Luke 6:29, him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other cheek. Boy, that's a tough one. Amen. How about go the second mile? The first mile is I have to. The second mile is I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it for grace. When you start doing things for God, you'll enjoy it and God will use you and he'll work in you. If everything you do is to protect yourself or profit yourself, how are you going to touch other people's eyes? So we do that. Go the second mile, turn the other cheek. How about this one? In one ear and out the other. Amen? 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. We hear something, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Ecclesiastes 7, they're talking about me. Yeah, and you've talked about them. I mean, it's all in the Bible. Amen? It's all in the Bible. What is God saying today? He's knocking. What is he saying? He's saying this. He's a good God. He's a God of all comfort. He's the God that will give you peace. And he's so good. And every good and perfect gift cometh from above. He so wants to bless us. All the benefits, all the rewards, all the blessings are just there. The riches of his grace, the abundance of his mercy. Amen. The mercy is new every morning. All of that is available for us. Why don't we go for it? Why don't we go to the mercy seat or the throne of grace? And why don't we open the door when he calls? Many of you know, probably all of you know, that we just got a little puppy. Little puppies are fun. I'm kidding. They take a lot of work, a lot of training, you know. And there's one thing you do with a little puppy. You want that puppy to come when you call, right? So you're instructed, the books tell you, and the trainers tell you, and other dog owners tell you, when you say come, make it something exciting. Amen? Or when, if you use the word here, make it something that they want. And so you do it with treats. And so we did that. As long as there's a treat, I mean, our little girl, she'll be on the other side of the room, and we say, Callie. And she'll look, and she looks at your hand. First she looks at your eyes, then she looks at your hand. And if you kind of go like this and fake her out, you know, she'll come. And when she sees there's nothing there, then she goes back to doing whatever she wanted to do. It's hilarious. And then you laugh at it because it's cute, and then you're in trouble. But if you do have a treat and she comes, she gets the treat. Amen? That's what a puppy does. They're very selfish. You've got to teach them and you've got to train them. But why would anybody want to come to God? Why would anybody want to pray? Remember in Job, what profit is there if we pray unto him? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a scripture. And the scripture cannot be broken. It's impossible for God to lie. So that's what he says. Amen? Anytime you come to God with a tender heart, wanting to hear God, wanting to please God, and wanting help, he will answer that prayer. He will help you. Amen? He may not make you a millionaire. He might not heal you physically, but he'll do something in here for you, and he'll use you for his glory. It's just help, Lord. Help, Lord. In Hosea, and boy, Hosea is a great, great book, and it's what God tells Hosea to do, and that's what he's going to do with Israel. And it's just a great book. But this is what God said, Hosea 11, verse 4. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. When they came to me, I drew them with love. That's what he did. If we take our puppy and any time we call her or say, come or here, and whack her, and we don't do that. But if we did, if there was some abuse, she wouldn't want to come. She would put her head down and she would find a corner to crawl in. That's because she didn't understand. Well, she did understand that there was no blessing there. I'll tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, anytime you come to God, He's a good God. Amen. He is a good God and He'll bless you. The prodigal came home to the father and he was so surprised when the Lord did all that, or his father did all that for him. You know, the coat, the shoes, the ring, all that. Blessed him, made a feast. But you think about how sin drove him out of the house, pulled him away. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but then the famine came. And the famine of the hearing of the word can come too. But there he is, and he comes to himself and he says, how many servants are in my father's house? How much bread is in my father's house? And he remembers how good his father was and how his dad treated his servants. And he says, I'll just want to be one of the servants. That wouldn't have been a bad thing considering his condition. Amen. He's in the hog pen. And so he gets up and he goes home. And the father said, no, I'm not going to make you a servant. I'm going to restore you to that position of my son. And God can surprise you. I don't know what your thoughts are of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, God, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? And it causes us not to go to Him. But He wants to bless us for sure. Had they known. What draws God to you? He loved us, right? We love Him because He first loved us. Love is in the equation. What draws you to God? Think about it. What draws you to God? When's the last time you really met with the Lord? What are you going to do tonight or next week, Monday, Tuesday? Spend some time with the Lord. He's wonderful. I recommend Him. Amen. I recommend it. He is wonderful. And here's the last verse. No, next to the last verse. No, three. Here it is. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes it gets pretty dark in here. And when we open the door, the light comes in. The shades go up, the light comes in. Amen. God knows all about it and He wants to help us. He's a blessing. He's going to dwell with us and we're going to dwell with Him forever. That's a future promise. But He wants to dwell with us now. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Okay. He's knocking at my door. What's He offering me? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, gentleness. That's what He's offering. Amen. Because that's the filling of the Spirit. He wants to come in and fill. Amen. Just think about it. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. God loves you. God loves you so much. And He wants to give you something today. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you help. He wants to give you something today. Let Him in. Just let Him in. And everybody might have something different. And let's all stand. Let's all stand, please. Father, bless Your word today and bring to our minds something we need from You. Thank You for the promises. Casting all our care upon You because You care for us. May we let You in today. Dwell with us. Be with us. Fill us. In Jesus' name.